I bring you greetings from the 2021 Vineyard National Conference in Phoenix, Arizona. I spent an amazing week not sleeping at all, but having unbelievable encounters with God. God met me at the hot tub. He met me at the pool. I really was at a conference, but there was a pool with a hot tub where I was staying, and I didn't miss an opportunity. But people started prophesying over me, giving me encouragement for our church, for the ministries we're doing here. And one man prayed for me at the end of one of the sessions and said, from the smallest seed comes the largest shrub tree where people will come and take their rest and their nourishment. We have a small seed going here, folks, but God is on this church. And I'm excited to tell you that the focus of this conference, and guys over there by the fire, can I just have your attention for a second? Teenagers, I want you to hear this. One of the most amazing parts of this conference that I was at last week was the honoring that went on between the generations. Every single service, there was an older leader and a new younger leader co-delivering the message. Every worship team had old and young worshiping together to give God praise. And one woman who's been leading our church for a long time in a lot of church planting said that the youth will lead the movement of the Vineyard Church. That we as older people need to be imparting to the youth the vision of our church. I don't think we've done a very good job this year at integrating the youth and the kids, as well as, like, we did the best we could with what we had, but I am eager to get back to ministering the vision of God to the kids at CVC. If you don't know this group of kids, and they're not all kids, young adults, they are remarkably compassionate and gifted people, walking through things most of us have never imagined having to walk through while they are followers of Jesus. And I just want to honor you guys today. Please see them, learn from them, encourage them. And guys, just give me your eyes one second. It's not easy for older people to connect, just as it's not easy for you to connect to us. And I'm going to ask us all to make an effort to do so. The other thing I wanted to share with you from the conference is I have never seen so much diversity in the Vineyard in my life. I've been in the Vineyard, yeah, give it up. I've been in the Vineyard for 30 years. And when I started, it was a bunch of middle-aged white men in Hawaiian shirts. I have nothing against white men. I married one. I even bought him a Hawaiian shirt. But the reality is that the kingdom of God is made up of every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And this was given at every meeting to remind us. I have never seen such diversity. Do you know that Vineyard Music has launched a gospel division? Yeah, right? And man, I'll tell you what. There's some powerful worship going on at the Vineyard right now. I haven't seen it in like 20 years. It's awesome. There's also much more focus on social justice and ministry to the poor. And I just want to give it up to those of you who tirelessly work to minister to the poor in your communities. Of course, I think of these two front and center. But there's so many of the rest of you that I'm not even sure of all your stories. But I want to continue to invite us to take opportunities to minister to the poor. Because one of the things I took away is that Jesus said, when you give to the least of these, you're not doing it for me, you're doing it to me. Hey, it was supposed to be sunny today. What's going on? All right, the blessings. We got the tent, and the kids are like, oh, the fire or the tent? Okay. Worship was amazing. Here's a picture of the conference. I took it. Worship is amazing. That's Mark Tyndall's head in front of me. Ministry time was epic. There were so many people coming forward for ministry that we all just turned to each other and started praying for each other. And that's the way of the Vineyard. So the things about these things I've just been sharing is it's amazing that they line up so well with our new sermon series. Well, it's not very new. It's about 4 or 5 weeks old at this point. But we've been looking at ways to reimagine church. We looked at what is the church, that it's not just the brick and mortars that we meet in, but it's the people of God bringing the kingdom of God from heaven to the earth. God uses us to bridge heaven and this sin-drenched earth. That the king, that church is a healthy family that honors all the members, old, young, diverse, everyone in between. A healthy family is willing to do the messy transformational work, practicing confession and repentance and forgiveness and allowing God to transform us through one another. We learned that last week and next week, Rich is talking about the church as a multiplication movement. We used to say the church is an army, right? It's a hospital, it's a family, it's a place of learning, and it's an army. And Rich said, you know, the army of God really is about multiplying, taking territory for the kingdom. And this multiplication movement, this DMM, is really taken off all over the world. When the Vineyard movement started, there were a handful of churches scattered across mostly Western America and some of the Midwest. Now there are over 3,000 Vineyard churches worldwide. Wimber had planted churches at what he called Kingdom Presence churches. John Wimber is our founder, for those of you who don't know that name. And he planted churches in 17 countries. Right now, the Vineyard movement has church plants in 121 countries, learning to bring the kingdom of God into the lives of others throughout our everyday lives. That's my grandson. Now, back then, it was unheard of that an average person could just move in the love and power of God. You had to go to a church to find God. But now, through this discipleship ministry movement, and through the Vineyard churches, and through thousands of other churches that have been empowered and come to know the empowering presence of God, God is moving on playgrounds, grocery stores, park benches, gyms, anywhere truth, love, and power of God is shared by those who love him. Now, not only is the church a place to learn, find a healthy family, multiply the kingdom, God also wants his church to be a place where people can find what? Rest? Anything else?
Love.
Jesus. Raise your hand and say Jesus. In the Vineyard, we are people of the presence of God, and part of our call is to be a spiritual hospital, a place where people can come together, pull on heaven, and bring healing from heaven into earth. There are so many prophetic words that Rich and Jess have gotten about this church. I want you to hear this. Please listen. This church has been prophesied to be a center of spiritual, physical, and emotional healing in this region. We are a small seed, but God has big plans for us. And when people encounter the loving and powerful presence of God, healing and restoration is the result. And we have an expectancy that God's going to use our church in this way. Let's have a word of prayer real quick. Father, I pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done today, here in this place, as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we reimagine the church as a spiritual hospital, a place where people come to get healed, I wonder, is that what your non-Christian friends know about the church? Is that what they think of when they think of Christians? A group of people to come and get healed by. It may be true for some of us that we found healing in the church, but the world really doesn't see the church this way anymore. The church can be a place of very deep pain for people. I know I've experienced it at the hands of leaders. When it should be a place for the deepest kind of healing. A few weeks ago, I saw this horrendous news report that was sent out from France. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Oh my gosh. Over the past 70 years, 30,000 people have filed claims against French clergymen for sexual abuse. 30,000 people over the past 70 years. And the thing that made it even worse was that the church knew about it, and they kept it hidden. May this sort of thing never happen in our community. And thank God, in the past 30 years, I have not heard one rumbling about that kind of horrendous reality. What if in 70 years, those kids playing on the tire swing, or these youth, or even some of you if you're still alive, or any of these kids, I'm not going to be here in 70 years, are you? What if 70 years from now, the news reports that in the past 70 years, 30,000 people got healed in the churches of Jesus Christ? What would it look like to see that happen? Now, one of the most wonderful things I've witnessed in this movement over this time I've been here is the authenticity of the leaders and sometimes the transparency of leaders. God, on several occasions, has called leaders to stand before hundreds or thousands of people and confess their sins publicly. This keeps things from being hidden. It can build trust. It can build compassion. It can build tenderness. Because all of us are flawed. And the Lord has asked me to do this morning. To stand before you and confess to you that my words and my thoughts have not always been full of God's compassion. And I have injured some of you deeply. And some of you guys, you know who you are. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, thank God. Some of us have reconciled and we're doing fine. Some of us are working on it and we're still figuring it out. And some of us have yet to meet and fix the thing that sits between us. And I just want you to know that I have really repented before the Lord. Because since I've become a pastor, my words have more power. I wish I could say I don't care what you think about me. I mean, I actually wish I could get to that point, but I'm not there yet. I do care what you think about me. But I care more about what you think about this church. And I care more about what you think about God. And if my words have caused you so much pain that you can't walk with Jesus or you can't come to this church, God forbid, please have mercy on me. Please forgive me. And please pray for me and for Rich and for other leaders that we would have the compassion and the mercy of God flowing through us enough that we recognize the power of our words when we speak to each other. So in church, when we do injure one another, we're in that mess Rich talked about a couple of weeks ago, right? But through the grace and compassion of God, we can help one another bring healing instead of injury. And when Jesus calls us to pray for our persecutors, repentant persecutors can become friends or brothers or sisters. And the victim can become the beloved. 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The truth is, God brings his divine healing through imperfect people. If he didn't, none of us would have access to it except directly from him. But the good news is that God does want to bring his healing through us. He brings beauty from ashes, the power of repentant confession, the power of forgiveness, the power of compassion to those who are hurting. This is what Jesus' death and resurrection bought for us. Reconciliation with God and with others. Healing in our hearts, in our minds, and in our bodies. And that's what we're going to look at today. As we reimagine church as a spiritual hospital. Why do we care so much about healing in this Vineyard movement? Have you ever asked that question? These people are always talking about healing. What is going on with them? Have you ever been to other churches that speak about healing as much as we do? I don't know. I mean, I hope so. But in which case, I will answer the way John Wimber answered 40 years ago. We care so much about healing in this movement because Jesus cared about it. Because Jesus did it. And because Jesus said this is how his followers would be recognized. Let's take a look. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus said, "These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." And the word for sick people here in the Greek is arrostos, and that means people without strength, weary, weak. So the sickness can be in the mind, in the soul, or in the body. We actually get to see this happening earlier in Mark's gospel, where everybody who knew about Jesus got to play. The disciples went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is a demonstration of what our founder called power healing. You preach the good news, and repentance is good news. It's a cleansing. It's a turning to God. And then the power of God will come to back up your ministry. You preach the good news, the power of God comes to back up your ministry. As a church, we're called to go out to preach the gospel, making disciples, as Rich has been teaching us last week and again next week. And Jesus promises that those who share his good news will also experience divine presence and power, driving out demons from people's lives, speaking in new heavenly languages, which empower us to hear from God. And other scriptures say that believers will handle snakes and drink poison and will not be harmed. We will be able to handle all sorts of dangerous situations by God's presence and power. We'll get place our hands on sick people and they'll get well. And notice that driving out demons was a part of healing. A lot of churches don't want to acknowledge this. You know, demons, we all know that was just some scientific thing we couldn't explain back then. I got news for you. I've had them. There was no scientific thing going on. Demons are miserable. And many of us walk with them attached to us and we don't know how to get them off. We're here to get them off each other. But I want to take a look today at how so many scriptures show us something important about the way Jesus flowed in God's power. And that's what I want to focus our thoughts on today. In Matthew 9, we read, "Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." You ever feel that way? Harassed and helpless? "The harvest is plentiful," Jesus said, "but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." That's what the whole DMM movement is about. So what is the power that moves in Jesus? He saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. I believe, and you can argue with me, because there are other scriptures that say God just healed. They don't mention compassion. But I believe this is what Jesus flowed in. Do we have any The Chosen fans here? Okay. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen this broadcast with the actor who plays Jesus. But when somebody asked him, you know, how are you doing this? He said, "What I try to do is speak every line I have with the most compassion I can access." I thought that was something. Have you ever tried to pray for somebody without having any compassion for them? You don't have to raise your hands, but I have. I have. You know, when we minister out of duty or guilt, like, I really should go pray. I should go really pray for those people. You know, sometimes we can cause more injury than help. They can feel it, even though they don't know what they're feeling. When we minister out of the need to be something, I've been there, show that God can move through me. Right? I've been there, and I've injured people through it. Self-promoting, self-protecting, being afraid that people will see me as a fraud. Right? Man, it's a miserable place to be. Or when we ministered, this is my favorite, just to get somebody off our plates. Have you ever done that? You know, you're exhausted. It's the end of a conference. It's 2 a.m. Somebody comes up to you and says, do you mind? Sure. I just want to go home and sleep. Right? Again, it can cause injury instead of healing. I believe we'll see the power to heal more often when we minister with God's compassion, because God's healing flows through compassion. I am sure of it. I'm sure of it. I suggest that when we go to pray for people, we just take a moment and check our stuff at the door. Ask God for his compassion, not just for his power. You know, we have a 5-step model here. See if I can remember the 5 steps. We invite the Holy Spirit. The kids' version says ask. Well, we almost always do that. But have we really invited the Holy Spirit? Or are we just asking for his power? What if his power flows through compassion? We ask the person what's going on. We make a diagnosis according to what the Lord's showing us. We pray for them. And then we do a little follow-up. Let's do this again in a couple weeks. Whoa, I remembered. All 5. I've only been doing this for 30 years. It's about time I memorized them. So I want to look at some evidence in Scripture that this actually might be true, that God's healing flows through compassion. Let's look at a few more Scriptures. Matthew 14 says, when Jesus heard what had happened, which was John the Baptist's assassination, right? So his cousin and his one compatriot on the earth has been murdered. Think he had some, you know, time, needing some me time right here, Jesus? He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place, but because the crowds knew this, they followed on foot. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, it doesn't say that he went, oh my gosh, can I just get a few minutes to myself here? It says he had compassion on them and healed their sick. In Mark chapter 1, we see a man with leprosy come to him. This is a very familiar story. And we know that lepers are the worst of society. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was moved with compassion. And he said, I am willing, be clean. And the man was cleansed. I believe God's healing flows through his compassion. In Matthew 7, we see 2 blind men sitting by the roadside crying out to God, Son of David, have mercy on us. And the crowd tells them to shut up. But Jesus stops the crowd and says to them, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, they answered, we want our sight. And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. I see God's healing flowing through compassion. And if that weren't enough, in Luke we read that as Jesus approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. And if you know anything about this context, a widow meant the end. No support, no income, nothing to hang on to. When the Lord saw her, he didn't have compassion on the dead man. He had compassion on her loss. And he said to her, do not weep. He came forward, touched the bier. The bearer stood still, and he says to the corpse, young man, rise up. Your mother needs you. He wasn't just demonstrating his power to raise the dead. He did that with Lazarus. He did that for the compassion he had for that woman to heal her broken heart, because God's healing flows through his compassion. And I got to tell you, I've seen God bring physical healing a few times in my life. And I'll be honest with you, most of the time I did not have a lot of faith. But I do think I had some compassion for the people, the pain they were in. I've seen, you know, ears open, hips healed, headaches relieved. And many of you have seen much more dramatic things. But I had enough compassion and I guess enough faith to actually do it. And maybe that's what the mustard seed of faith is all about, that we actually step out and do it. Maybe that's all it takes. We try to drum up all this faith. But maybe that's all it is. Just try. The rest is a mystery. We like to say in the vineyard, the already and the not yet of the kingdom. Power's here. It's not complete till we see Jesus face to face. But I believe that God's healing flows through his compassion. Often physical ailments are connected to emotional pain. How many of you know that? Raise your hand for me. I want to make sure you're awake. You're still there. Good. I know it's chilly out here and you're champions. Physical ailments can be connected to emotional pain. This weekend, a friend of mine said, would you pray for me? I've had a really terrible headache. And we're in the car going to lunch between sessions. I was like, yeah, sure. And I laid my hands on her and I could see emotional, oh, such deep emotional pain going on inside of her. I had no idea why. But I asked the Lord to start ministering to her emotional pain, and she broke in the back seat of the car. I've got my passenger seat flat, and I'm like laying hands on her like this. And the Lord ministered to her right there in the parking lot. And she confessed what she was dealing with, weeping, wailing. It was awesome. And I kept checking in with her. How's your headache? She's like, it's a little better. 2 hours later, how are you doing with your headache? It's a little better. Right? I think by the end of the day, the headache was gone, but all the stress of that emotional pain caused all that headache. And so the Lord might bring somebody up to heal a left finger, but it might be something else that we end up ministering to in our prayer time, because God heals through his compassion. I've also seen emotional healing coming through someone's confession in a small group setting. Confessing something they've been hiding their whole lives, that they've never spoken to a living soul. We value authenticity and honesty in this church. And when we listen as a community with compassion and understanding, carrying that person through the pain of this confession, they can find the healing they're after. And when we've practiced this within our community, it gets easier and easier to practice it out there in our offices, wherever God takes us. Compassion opens the avenue to bring heaven into our sin-drenched earth. Now, there's a new vehicle the Vineyard is offering called emotional healing. It used to be called emotionally formed, that brings us emotionally healing. Let me say that again. There is a new vehicle the Vineyard has taken from another church. It used to be called Faith Walking. And it's reformatted to kind of match up with our Vineyard values a little bit more in our the way we talk, the words we use. And it's called emotionally formed, EF. It starts with an intensive weekend where you kind of get an idea of what it's about. And then, if you're ready, you sign on for a six-month course. And in this course, you get spiritual and emotional support by other people as well as a coach. It's very inexpensive for a six-month course, I'll tell you what. And would you just raise your hand if you have been involved or are involved with Emotionally Formed? Raise your hand. I know there are more of us. So Jess is doing it now. Bindu and I have done it. Melissa's done it. I know that Sloan has done some of it. Steve has done some of it. And Jess has done some of it. And if any of you are interested in this course, if something in you is going, wow, that sounds like something I need. If you've been dealing with emotional baggage and you've gotten prayer over and over again and you still deal with it, there are two possibilities. You need deep inner emotional healing, or you need deliverance. When pain has given space for the enemy to come and live within us or attach to us, we need deliverance. So it can be something as simple as something somebody said to you that's against God's word and you believed it. So a spirit of deception hangs on to you. or anger that you just cannot let go of or will not let go of, and you close yourself off to God to help you. We can get a little attachment, and you might need some help getting it off of you. Deliverance is the power to set people free from demonic holds. And if you are a part of the Deep Inner Healing Prayer Team that has been training for like a year and a half, would you stand, please? So, Jess, Pete Wong did all the training, but he's taking a little break. He's there. Bindu, Natalie, Melissa, and Sloan. If you guys need you can sit down. If you guys need deep inner healing prayer, which is an extended prayer session where we meet with you, a team, and just you for 2-3 hours sometimes, going through your life's pain and trying to find any places of attachment that the enemy of God has seeded into your life and getting you free. If you are interested in getting that kind of prayer, we're going to start sessions in January, and the referral to our prayer teams is going to come through your small group leader. So attach yourself to a small group, make the request known, and your small group leader will approach one of us and say, this person in my group needs this attention, and we will start. We're going to be starting that in January. Just to finish up today, I want to say this. And thanks for hanging with me with such a day where there's so much stuff to talk about. I promise we're coming to the end. This is like teaching in my classroom. This is what I'm seeing out there. Just pretend you like me just for the next 5 minutes and we'll get to the end. My friend says to me, we are just a series of knotted knots. She says, most of us are just one step away from falling apart. And if we go after each other's knots and try to untie them to fix each other, we could create a much knottier mess. But through the compassion and love of God, the Holy Spirit can show us what knot needs to untie, what He's ready to do in us, in His love and compassion. All right, we're going to finish with this little list. Avenues, just as a review, to encounter God's healing. Worship. Just coming before God and worshiping Him. People can get free of all kinds of things coming into the presence of God through worship. If you've never checked out a worship night, come on Wednesday. We're going to have an extended time of worship and prayer after the service today. Come up and get prayer, or stay where you are and worship God. And let His healing flow. Don't miss a service. Do everything you can to be here. Worship helps us access God's presence. Ministry prayer. Coming up for prayer. Taking an R-I-S-K to come forward. And we're going to do prayer in front today as we worship. Because that is the vineyard model. The people of God worshiping get to watch God work. And all our faith is stirred. Small groups. If you're not a part of a small group, this is where church happens, guys. This is just a once a week reality here. A small group is an ongoing community that's with you through everything you go through. It's a great place for authenticity, for spiritual growth, formation, and healing. As I mentioned before, the deep inner healing prayer session. We call it dip. Come and take a dip in the healing presence of God. And then the EF, emotionally formed, formerly faith walking course. This is what we're about, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth through the love and compassion of Jesus, because God's healing flows through His compassion. Can the worship team come forward, please?